Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
As we have seen, the first half of Romans chapter 2 deals with the great judgment of God. The great judgment bar when God shall judge all men in a righteous manner and divide humanity between the righteous and the unrighteous, those who inherit eternal life and those who go into eternal destruction. And Paul is describing that day for us and making it clear that every man, every woman, every person must stand before the judgment bar of God in that day. And therefore, it behooves us to be prepared for that day of judgment. And this is the way Paul begins his presentation of the gospel. Again, far different from the way that it is often presented in our day. But immediately, we see the power of this approach and the relevance of it. If men are convinced by the Spirit of God and by the truth which is being proclaimed by Paul or any other evangelist, that man, that woman who's hearing the message, must stand before the judgment bar of God someday, then the question is, how can I be ready in that day? And that sets the foundation to listen to the message of the gospel. This is the only way that a fallen son or daughter of Adam can be ready for that judgment day. You must be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So listen carefully to the message of the gospel. How different that is, I say, from the gospel presentations that we often hear in our day that usually begin by appealing to the love of God and some benefit, temporal benefit, that is bestowed upon man. This will make you happier. This will make you more successful. This will give you a better life. Not much emphasis upon man's sinful condition and his inevitable judgment before a holy God. But that's the way Paul begins. And this description, the judgment day of God, culminates in chapter 2 and verse 16 when he says, "In that day, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Now we'll work our way up to that text and give a little more attention to it a little bit later. But notice what he says. In that day, apparently it is a definite day, when God shall judge the secrets of men, God is going to judge righteously because he knows the very thoughts of every man's heart and is able to reveal those thoughts at the proper time. God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. We realize that Jesus Christ actually is going to be the one doing the judging. Jesus Christ is God. It is God who will judge, but he's going to judge by Jesus Christ, for he has committed all judgment unto the Son, which is exactly what Jesus himself told us in the Gospel of John. And the last phrase in verse 16 says that this is according to my gospel. Now, there are two or three times that Paul refers to the gospel as my gospel, and we are not to presume from that or infer from that Paul's gospel was different from the gospel of Peter or John or any of the other apostles or any of the followers of Jesus Christ whose lives and ministries we have recorded in the New Testament scriptures. Paul was not distinguishing himself from them, but he was saying This is the gospel that was committed to me by Christ himself. It is my gospel. It was very personal to Paul. And this is an essential element in any understanding or presentation of the gospel. I'm telling you the gospel of Christ, and where do I begin? The sinfulness of man, the judgment of a holy God. That's essential to the gospel. That's essential to my gospel. That's essential to my understanding of the gospel. And I think I would take Paul's understanding of the gospel as being an authoritative understanding, wouldn't you? I don't think I would assume that some modern man, some modern preacher or evangelist has a better understanding of the gospel than the Apostle Paul. Nor would I agree, as is often asserted in our day, that times have changed, so that requires a different approach to the gospel. Oh, yes, 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 we believe the same gospel that Paul believed, but Paul was preaching that gospel in the first century. We're preaching that gospel in the 21st century. And the sensibilities and the expectations and the perceptions and philosophies and experiences of men are so different in our day that we can't present the gospel the same way Paul did. Sorry, but I beg to differ with you. In fact, I vehemently object to that kind of reasoning. And I warn you that that approach leads men into error. Oh, nobody's going to say, I'm taking this approach because I don't like the gospel as it's presented in the Bible, and I would like to shape it and alter it and massage it and change it. Nobody's going to say that. So, of course, if you're going to change the gospel, you've got to have a reason that sounds logical. It's a new day. It's a new era. We need a new approach. Careful, 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 careful. Because God hasn't changed. Christ hasn't changed. Men haven't changed. Not as to their essential nature. You see, that's a tricky little assertion. That times have changed, men have changed, men are different today. Well, of course, in one manner of speaking, that's obviously so. The 21st century is different from the first century. We're dealing with 20 centuries of history and science and development and civilization and medicine. And all kinds of things are different. There's no question about it. We do live, in many respects, in a very different world from the one that Paul lived in. But make no mistake about it, the essential things about God, about man, about sin, about judgment, about salvation, have not changed, cannot change, will not change, will never change. And therefore, be careful of that approach that says, times have changed, so we need a different approach to the gospel, because what almost always happens is that different approach to the gospel turns out to be a different gospel. Nobody will say that. And I'm sure many who make that assertion don't even realize that that's what's happening. I think many are sincere. They are sincerely trying to present the same gospel in a different cultural context, in a more successful way, based upon the changes that we have in society today. But I say again, watch out for that approach. Be careful of that approach. Though there may be some element of truth in what is said, it is so easy to allow that thinking to bring about a subtle shift in the very message itself, and that can never change. We can't change the message. I'm convinced the message is the same. I'm convinced that the approach, excuse me, I'm going to cough again. Tried to cut it out of the microphone that time, I hope successfully. I'm convinced that the approach that we take today is essentially the same because the basic nature of man has not changed. For however many thousands of years since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, man has been a human being made in the image of God, but fallen after the sin of Adam, and basic human nature hasn't changed in all of these millennium. And therefore, the gospel is relevant to every age because man hasn't changed, basically. That's why the gospel is relevant to every age. God hasn't changed, man hasn't changed. If man has changed fundamentally, then the gospel itself is no longer relevant in this age. And that, I'm afraid, is the sentiment that's behind some of these ideas. Again, I don't know how many people would recognize that, would admit to it, or would even recognize that that's what's happening here. But don't you realize that in every generation, there is always a subtle attack of our adversary to cause us to alter truth, and we've got to be vigilant in resisting that. And the problem is that some people are fighting the battles of a generation or two ago, or have assumed that those battles of a generation or two ago are now behind us and no longer need to be fought, and don't realize that in every generation, in fact, probably in every decade or so, there's always some new, clever heresy that comes along that, though in some respects is probably not new, if you know enough about history, you can probably find it at some previous time in history, but because it hasn't been fresh in our minds lately, it can very often be successful. It comes disguised as truth. And here's a new angle on truth. Here's a new understanding of truth. Here's a new approach to truth. Our forefathers in the faith, as much as we admire them, they didn't understand this. Or it wasn't something that commanded their attention because in their day things were different. But our day has some different features to it, and therefore we need this new understanding, this new approach. Be careful, be careful, be careful. I'm all for new insights into the Word of God. I'm all for new understandings. I recognize that many times there are historical and cultural revelations that can be very helpful in fleshing out a fuller understanding of Scripture. But be careful, be careful, be careful, because the truth hasn't changed. The message hasn't changed. If it has changed, and if our forefathers didn't understand this, and there's something now that's new, then that must mean that they misunderstood, that they were wrong. Now, they may have been. I'm not pleading for the infallibility of our forefathers in the faith, because, of course, you can find those who were right, you can find those who were wrong, you can find all kinds. But I'm just saying, watch out. Watch out for those who will give honor to our forefathers, but then dishonor them by implying that they didn't really understand the truth. Well, until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.